fervent in spirit to man. What does it mean to be fervent in spirit toward each other? And this is a very practical passage in that regard, because as you know, love is action. And so we find in this passage how we can show our love one to another with how we treat one another. So beginning again in chapter 12, verse 9 of Romans, the Bible says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." So fervent in spirit to man. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word now to speak to us individually. And Lord, in a very practical way, may you just guide us as we walk through this passage in areas, Lord, that we can do better at showing our love one for another as you've commanded us to do. So, Lord, I pray that you will be glorified and the Holy Spirit would guide in your word tonight. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So again, last week we looked at the seven things in this passage, how we can be fervent in spirit to our Lord. There in verse 9, things like abhor evil, cleave to the good, and so forth. But tonight we'll focus on how we can be fervent in spirit toward one another or in our dealings with man here on earth. And so verse 10, he tells us to be kindly affectionate one another, brotherly love. Of course, that is Jesus' command, isn't it? We looked at that in John 13 in Sunday school last week, that we're to love one another as Christ loved us. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you. What made it new? As I have loved you." John 13:35. So how do we do that? Number one, verse 10, preferring one another. So one of the ways we can be fervent in spirit or show love one to another as we should is to put others first. Now that's very difficult because we are so selfish in the flesh. But to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 as a good cross-reference. But if we could learn to put, obviously, God first in our lives, then put others first before ourselves, we will go a long way in learning to love one another in a practical sense. Notice Philippians 2, 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Now, our flesh wants to esteem ourselves as the best, doesn't it? But God says, no, we need to put others first, preferring one another, and, as it says here, esteem them even better than us, to treat them that way. And so that's the first way we see here that we can serve one another, love one another in a practical sense, is by putting one another first. Then in verse 11 of our passage, he says, "Not slothful in business." So in our daily lives, God doesn't want us to be lazy. He wants us to be not slothful. You know, Proverbs has a lot to say about the wickedness of slothfulness, doesn't it? And then, of course, Colossians 3:23, if you want, you can turn there. But God says everything that we do, and it's all, you know, we don't spend our entire day in church. It'd be nice if we could, but we have jobs, we have lives, we have families. God says, whatever you do, notice Colossians 3:23, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily." In other words, give it your all. And that's exactly what this is saying. Not slothful in business. What business? Whatever business you find yourself in. It doesn't isn't necessarily just talking about your job, although that's part of it. But whatever you do, God says, not slothful. That there's no room in the Christian life for slothfulness, for laziness. So, put others first and not be slothful. Then down in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints. Well, that's pretty practical, isn't it? In other words, if we see a brother or sister in Christ that has a need, that's the necessity word there, go to 1 John 3:17, then we need to do our best to meet that need if we have the means to do so. 1 John 3, verse 17, we may not have the means, but if we do, as you'll see here in 1 John 3:17, if we do have the means, God says, meet the need. Notice it says, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love must be action. Don't love in saying it, but love in doing it. And then verse 17 is pretty practical, isn't it? If you have the means and you see your brother have a need, you don't even need to pray about it. You just meet the need. So distributing to the necessity, if you see a saint with a need, this isn't about wants, it's about needs, necessities, then meet the need. That's pretty practical. That's a very practical way that we can love one another, be fervent in spirit to one another, is to meet each other's needs. Then in verse 13, he says, given to hospitality. Go to 1 Peter 4:9, and we'll get a cross-reference there. It means that we're to be hospitable people, that if we have the means, as much as possible, we need to open our homes, be a blessing to others, be hospitable. It's really pretty basic. 1 Peter 4:9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. In other words, you don't do it, oh, well, the Bible says I have to be hospitable. That's doing it grudgingly. No, you do it because you love God and you love God's children and you want to do it. It's a way of showing love to one another, is being a hospitable person. Then it gets super practical in verse 14 and says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Now we'll be talking more about this next week when we look at the end of the chapter about evil for evil and vengeance and all that. But God says when someone persecutes us, that we're to do the opposite of what our flesh wants to do. Our flesh wants to fight back, doesn't it? Somebody persecutes us, we want to give it to them. God says, no, bless them. Now, Jesus said a similar thing, did he not, in Matthew 5? What did he say we should do for our enemies? Love them, bless them, pray for them. This is where Christianity is real, isn't it? Because it's so different from the world and so different from what the flesh wants. The flesh wants to fight back. The flesh wants to retaliate. God says that's not Christianity. One of the ways in a practical sense that we can love one another is when people persecute us, we don't curse. We don't retaliate, but we leave it to God. And again, we'll expound upon that next week at the end of the chapter, but we can look at the passage, verses 17 to 19. Where it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Verse 18, if it be possible, much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So bless them which persecute you. How what do we have so far? Put others first. Don't be slothful. Meet others' needs, be hospitable, and bless them which persecute you. How about verse 15, the empathy verse? Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. That's the definition of empathy, isn't it? So is there a difference between sympathy and empathy? There is. They're spelled different, for starters, but they are two completely different concepts. Sympathy means that you feel sorry for someone who's going through pain or suffering. Empathy means you hurt with them. So it's another level, isn't it? I hurt because you hurt, or I rejoice because you rejoice, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember John 11, when Jesus was just about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew Lazarus was going to come back from the dead. There was going to be a lot of rejoicing. There was going to be a lot of people exercising faith in Jesus Christ when they saw this amazing miracle. Then why did he weep? Well, if you look at the context of the passage, his friends, Mary and Martha, were weeping. And it says Jesus wept. So Jesus was just giving us an example of empathy there. He didn't weep because he was sad about Lazarus, because Lazarus is about to come back from the dead. He didn't weep because of anything except that his friends were hurting and he hurt with them, which is what we're supposed to do. So if we're going to be fervent in spirit to one another, we need to put one another first, distribute to their needs, be hospitable, bless those that persecute us, and show empathy. Moving on, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. That's pretty practical, isn't it? In other words, get along. 1 Corinthians 1:10, that's exactly what Paul told the church at Corinth, because the church at Corinth had a lot of issues because of their carnality. One of the issues was they were always fighting with each other over personalities. So things haven't changed much in 2,000 years, have they? But notice what he told them here in 1 Corinthians 1:10. I beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Which is exactly what we're told here in Romans. To get along. To be unified. Not be fighting. And that is a very practical way, is it not? To love one another, is to get along with one another and be of the same mind one to another. Verse 16, mind not high things. This is an interesting verse. But condescend to men of low estate. All of us in one way or another struggle with this thing called respect of persons, don't we? Some more than others. What is respect of persons? Well, James talks about it. Let's look at it. Chapter 2 of James. He gives us a whole section on it. What it is it's treating people differently based on the externals. So the example James gives is somebody comes into your assembly dressed like a homeless person. You treat him differently than someone who comes in dressed all with their Sunday best, as they call it. That's called respect of persons. You're treating people differently based on what you see with your eyes. And God says that's sin. He says it's wrong. Verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and ye say to the poor, stand there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? And God forbid that a church would ever behave this way, amen? That they would treat people differently, how they were dressed. That's just wrong. Or how they appeared. It's just wrong. We cannot have respect to persons. Because man looketh on the outward appearance, but where does God look? On the heart. And that person may be holier than you. Because holiness isn't based on what you're wearing, it's based on your heart. Which we'll talk more about later. So, what does he tell us here? Condescend to men of low estate. In other words, if there are people in your assembly, be their friend. Don't treat them less, if you will, than you would treat the people that aren't of low estate. If you have people that are super poor or struggling or whatever, don't treat them differently, but condescend and recognize that we're all sinners, saved by grace, amen, and be humble. How many times did Jesus tell us to be humble and to be a servant? And what better opportunity when God brings someone across our path who is of low estate, what better opportunity do we have but to learn how to be a servant when those things happen? Think about the perfect Son of God washing dirt off the feet of sinners. And he said, here, I'm doing this to be an example. And he definitely had a place to look down on them because he was God, he was perfect, he was righteous, and they are wicked. But he's the only one who has the right to do that because he's God. In other words, don't have respect to persons, but condescend to men of low estate. Don't ever treat them differently. Don't ever, you know, in my 30 years, I've had people say things that are just totally off the wall. Like, why do we have these Bible clubs bringing all these snotty-nosed kids into our church? Stuff like that. It's like, really? That's why we're here. It's to bring those snotty-nosed kids so they can hear about Jesus and get saved. Amen? But that's exactly what he's talking about here, is having this respect of persons and looking down on people. We can't do it. It's wrong. Let's see. Verse 17 is our next point. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Like I said, we'll expound upon that next week. But God tells us there in verse 19, vengeance is mine. Someone has hurt you. Someone has wronged you. You trust God and leave it in his hands. Never are we given permission to retaliate, or as the Bible says, give evil for evil. And then he finishes in verse 17, be honest. Not just among yourselves, but what? In the sight of all men. Go to 1 Peter 2:12 and we'll see this mentioned again. In other words, when you're out there in the world, dealing with the world, which we all do, we're all buying things, we're all selling things, we have jobs, we interact with the world all the time. He says, always be honest. There's never a place to be dishonest. Could there be a worse testimony than for someone to say that they know this person's a Christian and they're dishonest? That's just horrible. Should never happen. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest, what? Among the Gentiles. Not among yourselves, but among the other people. That whereas they speak evil against you, or speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be honest for everyone. And what a great way to show love, but to always be honest about everything. So put others first. Distribute to people's needs. Be hospitable. Bless those that persecute you. Show empathy. Be of the same mind. In other words, get along. Never show respect to persons. Never render evil for evil. And always be honest. That's a super practical passage on how to love one another. As he said there in verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And then he tells us how to do it on a day-by-day, down-to-earth sense. What a blessing that is. Fervent in spirit to man. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these beautiful points. But I pray, Lord, that we would take heed to them as the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. And, Lord, we would strive to love one another as you've commanded us to in how we treat one another. So have your will and way in each of our hearts. And thank you for your precious word tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.